Our next presenter is Adiba Ali, who is currently pursuing an MPH in Epidemiology and Biostatistics at the Oregon Health and Science University. She has a BS and MS in Biomedical Engineering and has experience working in biomechanical research and molecular biology. She plans to graduate this year and hopes to work towards addressing health disparities among vulnerable and disadvantaged populations. And today she'll be speaking about racial and ethnic disparities for family meals in a population-based cohort of two-year-old children. Welcome.
Thank you. I brought some handouts here to distribute. Thank you for the introduction. So I'm going to be presenting on some data that I've been working on for my MPH thesis with my thesis committee, Drs. Rosenberg, Peters, and Adams at OHSU in Oregon. And I do not have any relationships to disclose. So family meals have been widely cited for its numerous benefits on a family's development, health, and well-being. I became particularly interested in family meals because it's been known to impact a family's development in a wide variety of ways. For example, in early childhood, there are studies showing its impact on the social, emotional, and cognitive growth of a child. And family meals have also been linked with enhanced language development skills and academic achievement. Several recent studies came out among adolescents showing a reduced risk of obesity and depression and substance abuse. And so the idea is that mealtime really just offers a natural opportunity for parenting and an opportunity to strengthen the relationships between the family members and enhance a sense of family cohesion. And shared mealtime can improve early childhood development and by teaching healthy lifestyle behaviors such as dietary habits and mealtime behavior. And it's particularly relevant, I think, in early childhood since the early years of life are really critical to develop these behavioral habits. So the issue is that family meals research has primarily been limited to Caucasian families with adolescent children, and they haven't been really addressed with families who have young children or preschool-age children. And many of the outcomes like obesity and other adverse health outcomes like drug and alcohol abuse and mental health issues have demonstrated a lot of different socioeconomic disparities. But there's very little research looking at the characteristics of why or why not families may be sharing meals together. So this analysis will explore the demographic characteristics of sharing meals together. So we use the Oregon PRAMS survey, which is the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System. It's a standardized surveillance system that collects state-specific population-based data on maternal attitudes and experiences before, during, and shortly after pregnancy. So using stratified random sampling methods, mothers are selected from the Oregon birth certificate files 2 to 6 months after giving birth. Surveys are mailed to new mothers, and to promote high response rates, non-responders are followed up with additional mailings and telephone calls. So PRAMS 2 is a follow-up survey in which the initial cohort of PRAMS mothers are re-interviewed when their child reaches 2 years of age. And this was initiated with the 2004 birth year cohort. So this study will actually analyze the 2004-2005 cohort of women who were re-interviewed in 06 and 07. In this particular cohort, we had 5,620 women who were sampled for the initial survey, and of those, 3,883 women responded to the first PRAM survey. 2 years later, about 1,911 women responded to the PRAMS 2 survey. So this yielded a response rate of 43%. So one of the questions that were introduced by the state nutritionist in this survey was, does your family eat meals together? And mothers could respond either always, usually, sometimes, or never. When we looked at the literature of family meals, we found that many studies reported a quantifiable measure of family meals. For example, 3 meals a week or less versus 4 meals a week or more. So we decided to dichotomize this variable and compare women who reported always or usually having family meals versus those who reported sometimes or never having family meals. So for our analysis, we defined our outcome variable as family meal frequency, always, usually, versus sometimes or never. And we identified maternal race, ethnicity, and poverty status as our primary predictor variables. And we selected several potential confounders and other demographic characteristics for our model. And some of these include age, education, marital status, and employment status. So we initially ran descriptive studies for our outcome variable, and we ran simple logistic models with each of our predictor variables. And we selected each of our covariates based on what we found scientifically relevant in the literature and the strength of the bivariate associations with family meals. And we ended up excluding several of the demographic variables because of high multicollinearity. And all of our data were analyzed using STATA weighted survey techniques. So in our 04-05 birth cohort, we had 1,875 women who responded to the question, does your family eat meals together? And in our population, we showed about 87% of our population reporting always or usually having family meals. And then in our multivariate model, after considering the potential confounders, we found that race ethnicity was significantly associated with always or usually having family meals. And this model adjusted for poverty status, maternal age, marital status, birth order, and employment status. So compared to non-Hispanic whites, we found that Hispanics, non-Hispanic blacks, and non-Hispanic Asians and Pacific Islanders were about half as likely to report having family meals. So this table represents the final model result with the two primary predictors. Maternal race ethnicity was derived from a birth certificate, the birth certificate files, and poverty status was derived from the PRAMS income question. So as we just said, as I just mentioned earlier, race ethnicity was significantly different. About the Hispanic, Black, and Asian Pacific Islander groups were about half as likely to report always or usually having family meals. With poverty status, although there was a significant association when we looked at it by itself with family meals, it was not significant in the final model. But I still think it's interesting to look to see that there's an increasing trend of family meals as income goes up. This table shows our covariates that we adjusted for, including age, marital status, birth order, and employment status. We saw that birth order was significantly associated with family meals. Mothers who had more than one child were about 1.6 times as likely to report family meals. So our results demonstrate that minority racial ethnic groups are less likely to report having family meals. These disparities could be reflecting cultural differences with respect to family eating habits, but it might also be reflecting underlying socioeconomic factors, particularly since a lot of our minority ethnic groups, racial ethnic groups in Oregon, are clustered in particular industries and may share similar economic constraints. And I think there might be unmeasured confounding factors that may have more influence on whether or not a family is having meals together, such as single parenting or having multiple jobs. And these create additional challenges for a family to balance the work-life schedules. And I think it'll be important for future studies to address family meals in a more specifically defined way and maybe address the quality of the family environment in addition to the preparation and healthfulness of the meal itself. So our analysis may have important public health implications on the development of a child into adolescence, especially in light of the many other studies exploring the protective nature of family meals among teenagers. So if we see disparities in early childhood, it may contribute to health disparities in adolescence and young adulthood. Beyond race and ethnicity, differences. As I mentioned earlier, there are probably other socioeconomic factors that are playing a bigger role in whether or not a family is skipping having meals together, like employment opportunities and having to juggle multiple jobs and just the stability of that home environment. I think one way to address these disparities may be to target particular populations through educational campaigns to encourage family dinners together. There's actually an ongoing effort right now in Oregon to promote family meals through a campaign that is collaborative between the Nutrition Council of Oregon and the Office of Family Health in Oregon. So I think being able to identify and address barriers to family meals can help us inform family-based interventions and policy to improve early childhood learning. So that's it. I'd like to thank my thesis committee and Dr. Rosenberg, who's here in the audience, and my statistician at the state office, Al Sandoval, and Jennifer Young for her feedback on the Family Meals Initiative. So, thank you. That's a great idea. Just focusing on the work schedules and understanding.
Very nice presentation. I was just curious about the childcare arrangements. I know that it didn't make it into the final model.
Right.
How was that defined?
So the mothers were asked whether they had childcare arrangements, whether they had some sort of childcare outside of the home. And so we compared those that did have childcare arrangements outside the home versus not. We didn't see any differences there, so.
I wonder if you have any thoughts about the question itself. Do you think that because it's a kind of non-specific question, people may have misinterpreted the question?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the limitations of this study. The lack of specificity in defining family meals, because it's very much subject to interpretation, whether or not a family, how a family is defined, and whether or not they're eating in or out. So definitely, I think for future surveys, I think it'll be important to really define that properly.
So, question: is there any information about different caloric content
We did not have any information on that, but I think that's a very interesting an interesting variable that a lot of studies are looking at, and especially when they're linking family meals to weight, child overweight issues, and obesity issues. But we did not have that data.
I have one question. I think I read it correctly that birth order one had a higher risk of not having a family meal. So I started thinking birth order one, that means one child, mother, maybe a partner, and yet there's no, so I'm trying to think, if a mother feeds a child, they're not eating with the child, that would be the single mom part, but the other part is the spouses of her mom when they're eating.
Right.
And so I just kind of, is that the right interpretation of that?
Yeah, I think so. So that's why, that was one of the reasons I really wanted to bring that variable in, because an infant child, a two-year-old child is probably going to be eating with their mother. And so I wanted to look at how much of a difference that made. And looking at whether or not, whether or not marital status plays a big role was another element that we looked at, because couples that might not be married, but may have a partner who may be in or out may influence the way family meals are managed.
Thank you.